my favorite media team, my only media team. I am ready to go in 3, 2, 1. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our every other week briefing. Thanks for joining us and tuning in. Today in the briefing, we'll hear from public health, we'll hear from city planning about the Town of Madison attachment, and then we'll hear from a special guest from Elevate Energy about the work we're doing to improve energy efficiency in affordable rental housing. There's quite a lot going on this month. It is Eat Local Month. It's also Blood Donor Month, and I'd just like to highlight that the fire department and the police department are collaborating to do a blood drive this weekend. You can check that out on their social media or their website. And if you are able to donate blood, I encourage you to do so. It's also Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and so I encourage folks to be aware of mental health issues, of course, all the time, but particularly this help. And we've got lots to talk about, so let's jump right into it with Janelle Heinrich, who is the Director of Public Health, Madison-Dane County.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. Instead of starting with a data update, as I usually do in these briefings, I'll jump right into it. As some of you may have seen, this morning we announced that we are issuing a new face covering order that will go into effect tonight at 12 a.m. and will be in effect until October 8th. Face covering emergency order number 2 is nearly identical to the current order, which requires that everyone aged 2 and older wear a face covering or mask when in any enclosed building where other people, except for members of that person's own household or living unit, are present. However, the new order does include additional narrow exemptions for individuals when actively playing an instrument that has a cover over the instrument that acts as a face covering, and while presenting or performing a religious, political, media, educational, artistic, cultural, musical, or theatrical presentation, as long as everyone present is fully vaccinated and 6 feet of distancing is maintained between the presenter and the audience. Even with these exemptions, we highly encourage all performing arts to consider all the ways in which they can reduce disease transmission, including requiring vaccination of performers and attendees, moving performances and practices outdoors when possible, ensuring spaces are well ventilated, and spacing people at least 6 feet apart. These strategies are all especially vital as the highly contagious Delta variant continues circulating in Dane County. Of the 71 Dane County residents who tested positive for COVID in August and whose positive results were sequenced, 100% of those were the Delta variant. We are still learning about COVID-19 and its variants. As we discovered late this summer, research shows that with the Delta variant, it is possible for those who are vaccinated to transmit illness. But as we continue to review the evidence as it evolves, it appears that risk may be lower than for those who are unvaccinated, and the window in which transmission could happen may be shorter than those who are unvaccinated. What we do know is that vaccination greatly reduces your risk of severe outcomes if you should become sick with COVID, including ending up in the hospital or worse. Roughly 84% of those in Dane County who are eligible to receive the vaccine now has at least one dose. Over the past 4 weeks, cases have been stable among fully vaccinated people, but have increased by 16% among people who are not fully vaccinated. And 30% of the unvaccinated cases were children under the age of 12 who can't yet be vaccinated. Pediatric cases have stabilized over the past month, but are still higher than they were at this time last year. This underscores the importance of consistent universal masking in schools and in childcare settings. We know public health orders will never answer every question or account for every scenario, but we ask you to please consider the overall goal of this order and encourage everyone to follow some common sense precautions. Masks and vaccination work to reduce the spread of disease and reduce the outcome, the possibility of severe outcomes. Right now, Dane County remains in the high level of disease transmission, according to the CDC. The number of people hospitalized in Dane County hospitals with COVID is currently about 3 times higher than the number we were averaging in July. However, as of today, cases and hospitalizations do appear to be stabilizing, with our 7-day average sitting around 103 and an average of 74.4 people in the hospital. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Please, please get vaccinated if you are eligible. Wear a mask when you can and when you should. And let's keep moving our county forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Janelle. And let me just emphasize again how important it is for all of us who are eligible to get vaccinated. It's very easy. There are lots of options around our community to get that shot. And you can find out those options at publichealthmdc.com/vax, V-A-X. publichealthmdc.com/vax. There's a whole long list of places that you can go get vaccinated. If you are not vaccinated, please get that first shot. If you have friends, family, neighbors, coworkers who haven't taken the plunge yet, please tell them why you did. One of the most effective ways to get people to get vaccinated is for you to share your personal story of why you chose to get the vaccine to protect yourself, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your community. So thank you to everybody who has been vaccinated, and please, if you haven't, go ahead and get that shot. All right, next we're gonna hear from Angela Puerta, who's one of our city planners, to talk about the attachment of the town of Madison. Angela?
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, so yeah, I would like to talk about the first public information meeting about the Town of Madison attachment, which will take place on September 15th at 6 p.m. Via Zoom and online. And for non-English speakers, we will have an in-person location at the Catholic Multicultural Center. But before we talk about the details of the PIM, I would like to give a brief overview of the Town of Madison attachment. So we have an internal group here in the city of Madison, and we launched a communications campaign last spring to reach people from the town of Madison in preparation of the final attachment, which will take place on October 31st, 2022. We have been proactively sharing some of the various communication tools that we have and also sharing information about the service changes, city programs, and ways to get involved during the attachment process. So back in the early 2000s, there was a cooperative agreement between the city of Madison, the city of Fitchburg, and the town of Madison. A majority of the town of Madison will be attached to the city of Madison in October 2022, with the remainder going to the city of Fitchburg. We will welcome over 5,000 residents, which is very unprecedented for our city. We do not typically annex or attach large urbanized areas with these many new residents. So as you can see in the slide, over 2,300 additional housing units will be part of the city of Madison. So we are currently working on the best ways to serve those residents and people from the town of Madison. Currently, we are providing service from the fire department, EMS services, and also building inspections since November 2020. Some of the communications barriers that we found out during our research during the communications plan that was prepared by the city. So as you can see in the map, there are three scattered areas in the town. So those three geographic areas are very different with different demographic characteristics. 32% of the population are non-native English speakers. So we have to make sure that all communications are really in multiple languages, especially Mandarin and Spanish. 78% of the population live in multifamily units, which also means that the majority of these residents are renters and there is a lot of turnover. And the town of Madison has limited funding sources, and that also means that most of the heavy lifting in terms of communications have to be done by the city of Madison. I just would like to share some of the major communication tools that we've been using. One and probably the most important one is the Town of Madison website, which is a one-stop shop to help us share information in a single platform that includes process timeline, history, background of the process, ways to connect with the city, information on service updates, and key communication tools. Also within that website, there is an interactive map where people can take a look at their parcel and figure out to which city they will be attached to. There is also an educational video in Spanish and English done by the mayor, and there is also a Mandarin video that you can take a look at in the website. We have hired DesignCraft. It's a marketing company that has helped us work on a targeted media campaign to advertise via social media platforms and other news and online platforms. So we've sent mailers, we've done radio ads, podcasts, text message alerts, which everyone from the town can sign up from the website. There is also, we've also had communications with many of the apartment managers and educational institutions in the town. The team has called them and let them know that there is this attachment happening, so people are aware of this process. So something to point out is that we have hired three community navigators. There's been a lot of material, awareness campaign materials that we've been distributing via community navigators, fact sheets, which is a five-page document that summarizes all the information of the service changes and other important facts prior to the attachment, flyers, yard signs, a resource guide, especially for the south side. So there will be this public information meeting on September 15th. So as I mentioned at the beginning, there will be an alternative location for non-English speakers at the Catholic Multicultural Center. We will make sure that the interpreters are recorded, and then we can post on our website the three Zoom videos in those three languages, Spanish, Mandarin, and English. If for some reason there is an English speaker that doesn't have access to the internet or would be easier just to attend to an in-person meeting, they are welcome to join us at the Catholic Multicultural Center. Just keep in mind that there will be interpreters there, and it's targeting those who are non-English speakers. During this public information meeting, the city will share the latest about the attachment process, the resources. We will explain how the city is reaching to these non-English speaking populations, especially through the community navigators. And there will also be city staff available to answer questions about the process. Some of those agencies are the police department, fire department, community development division, engineering, streets, building inspections, planning, community development authority, and the mayor's office. We will also introduce the three community navigators that are currently in the town so people get more familiar of who they are. Two of those individuals speak Spanish, are bilingual in Spanish and English. So yeah, I'll invite everyone who wants to learn more about the attachment. Please, if you have any question or if there is a language assistance request, email us at townofmadison@cityofmadison.com or call us through our hotline and leave a voicemail at 608-267-1188. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. I just want to really encourage people to attend the meeting on the 15th and to spread the word about it. We really need to reach as many people in the town to make sure that everybody understands what this attachment means for them, for their family, for their property, and how we're going to welcome them into the city of Madison. All right, a few other factoids. It is National Mentoring Month. It is also Senior Citizen Month. It seems to me that these two things go together. There's lots of great organizations in our community that offer opportunities to mentor young people if you are a senior citizen or if you're not and looking for a way to give back to your community. That's a great way to do it. Now we're going to welcome Abby Corso from Elevate Energy to talk about the city's partnership with Elevate and Sustain Dane on how we're working to improve energy efficiency in affordable rental housing in Madison. Abby?
Thank you, Mayor. Elevate and Sustain Dane are really honored to be doing this work in the city of Madison with our rental community. Both Elevate and Sustain Dane are 20-year-old nonprofit organizations committed to sustainability and equity. The city of Madison, Sustain Dane, Elevate, and the Northside Planning Council are partnering to upgrade 70 to 100 units of small to medium size affordable multifamily buildings. We want these buildings to be more energy and water efficient. The opportunity is made possible through funding from the Public Service Commission, Office of Energy Innovation, in collaboration with the City of Madison. Grants between $10,000 and $20,000 will be offered to eligible buildings owners to cover the cost of installed energy and water efficiency measures, such as efficient lighting, improved heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, improved insulation and air sealing, water softener tune-ups, and water saving devices. Selected buildings will receive an energy and water assessment and report in-unit savings packages for residents if they desire, funding for the upgrades, and technical assistance to complete the upgrades on each building. This is a north side project. Buildings should be located on the north side, approximately within the boundaries of Cherokee Marsh to the north, North Stoughton Road to the east, East Washington Avenue to the south, and Lake Mendota to the west. Applications for the program are now being accepted through September on a first-come basis. For more information or to submit an application, please visit the Efficiency Navigator program site at sustaindane.org, that's O-R-G, or send an email to hello@sustaindane.org. We look forward to hearing from building owners and managers and look forward to working with the Northside community. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Abby, and thanks also to the Northside Planning Council and Sustain Day. And I just want to emphasize, so if you are a building owner or a building manager, or if you live in a building that you think could be more energy efficient, please check out sustaindane.org. If you are a renter, talk to your landlord or your building manager about this great opportunity to get these energy and water efficiency improvements paid for and to get excellent technical assistance at the same time. It's a really, really exciting program for our community. All right, it is also, as you may know, Hispanic Heritage Month, and if you are interested in a list of events that are happening around our community for Hispanic Heritage Month, check out madpl.org/Hispanic-heritage. That's the public library. Always here with information for you. All right. A bunch of things, so I'm going to go kind of quickly through these. In terms of the City of Madison services, the majority of our offices are back to pre-pandemic service. You can check individual offices at citymadison.com/health-safety. There's links there. Please note that the City County building still is not open above the first and second floors, except by appointment. So if you need to get to any of the agencies on those floors, come to the concierge desk on the first floor and they will assist you, or maybe call ahead and make an appointment. Our public libraries have returned to their full service hours. Monona Terrace and the Madison Senior Center are open. Metro is continuing its new services, just changed in August. Reminder that you do need to wear a mask on the buses and in shelters or at the transfer points. And also a reminder that if you have financial concerns due to COVID-19, you can contact our free financial resources hotline to be connected to financial assistance resources. Again, that's at citymadison.com/health-safety. Click on coronavirus. There's a whole bunch of community resources there. If you need more information, there is links on that same website about all of our service updates. Or of course, you can follow the city on social media. The main city account is City of Madison. Most departments have their own as well. All right, so then a few other things to go through. Lots of input being asked for and some other announcements. I want to start, though, because I know there's a high level of concern in our community about gun violence. And so I want everyone to understand that I am deeply concerned about the levels of gun violence we're seeing in Madison, but also in cities all across the country. The pandemic has really fueled gun-related crimes nationwide, and it's highlighted the danger of having weak gun laws that enable firearms to fall into the wrong hands. While homicides and shots fired both in Madison are down from last year, of course, all gun violence in our community is unacceptable. And there are many efforts across the city led by both the Madison Police Department and Public Health Madison-Dane County via their Violence Prevention Unit to put an end to senseless gun violence. The Violence Prevention Unit is leading community intervention programming that supports and complements law enforcement work. And I also have invested in youth employment and educational programming using our federal ARPA funds, so that we can get youth connected to productive endeavors instead of getting into trouble. I want everybody to know that my staff and I are taking this very seriously and that we're working closely with MPD, the Violence Prevention Unit, and the Common Council and our entire community to prevent gun violence in Madison. I also want to highlight, we talked about the mask order and we talked about getting vaccinated, but I understand that people may be worried and may want to access COVID-19 testing. There are more options than ever for testing in our community. Many of our local pharmacies across the county are offering testing. There are also community test sites and the public health clinic, which is on Park Street. And we encourage you to make an appointment so you don't have an unpredictable or long wait. Testing is free and does not require insurance. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services also offers a service for requesting a test kit delivered to your mailbox. So if you're looking to get tested, check out your local pharmacy, visit the public health website for more information, or contact the Wisconsin Department of Health Services if you want a test shipped to you. Finally, turning to more international news, I know we've all seen that we have Afghan refugees coming here to Wisconsin. Myself and Common Council leadership want to make sure that we extend a warm welcome and reaffirm our city's commitment to treating refugees with dignity, care, and respect. If you are interested in helping to welcome and assist Afghan families as they arrive, the Department of Children and Families has a website, dcf.wisconsin.gov/refugee, with information on how to help the families that are arriving at Fort McCoy. It is possible that some of these folks will be resettled in Madison. If you want updates or to understand how to help locally, you can contact either Jewish Social Services of Madison or Lutheran Social Services, which is based in Milwaukee. We're really proud to be a welcoming city, and I want to thank all the Madisonians who have already sent donations up to Fort McCoy and are preparing to welcome people into our community right here in Madison. I spoke a little bit earlier about the ARPA funds that we're dedicating to youth employment programs. And thanks to the City Council approving this, we are funding a number of youth employment and training programs that go in, were happening this summer and will go into the fall. We're supporting 11 community-based organizations to run 23 different programs for youth ages 14 to 21. And I'm really happy that we're able to invest in our community. So I want to thank the organizations who are doing this great work. The council also has recently approved a new round of rental assistance for our community to prevent evictions and ensure housing stability. We're working with Dane County and many local organizations, and we'll soon have a new online application portal for rental assistance. The name of the program will be Dane Core 2.0. Dane Core 1.0 is still underway. And if you need rental assistance or if you are a landlord and your tenants need help paying their rent, I want to emphasize there is absolutely still funding available to help. No one should be evicted for lack of paying rent. There is absolutely funding available, and you should apply at core.tenantresourcecenter.org/apply. When the new portal launches in mid-September, we'll be making it widely available so people know if there's a new link. But for now, the link is core.tenantresourcecenter.org/apply. We have dedicated almost $2 million to our eviction defense program and many, many millions more to rental assistance. Please, please take advantage of this program. All right, I mentioned that there's a lot of ways in which the city is looking for input. Let's go through a few of them. We have the Let's Talk Streets campaign, which is particularly seeking input from people with disabilities. We want to know how our streets do or don't work for people who have disabilities or are differently abled. And we're looking for stories about people's experiences on Madison streets. There is a survey at cityofmadison.com/transportation/initiatives/letstalkstreets, or you can follow the links from cityofmadison.com/transportation. And the survey is open until September 28th. I really encourage anybody who's differently able to take that survey and make sure that we record your experience and take it into account as we work on our streets in the future. If you want more information or a printed survey, you can contact Renee Calloway in our traffic engineering division, or you can call 608-266-6225. Metro is also collecting feedback on their network redesign project. We're in phase two. We have some maps to look at, and we're looking to draft a final network plan this fall. And so we're asking for you to provide feedback on each of the maps that we've developed and how you think we should manage the trade-offs between them. You don't have to be an active bus rider to comment. We know that improving transit will benefit our whole community. It impacts traffic, development, the economy, the environment, and racial and social justice. So please, anyone who's interested, please comment on this project. You can provide your feedback and review the two maps with a short 10-minute online survey, which is also available in Spanish, and that is at surveymonkey.com/r/network-alternatives. And we're asking that folks complete that survey by September 29th. You can find out much more about the project at mymetrobus.com/redesign, or you can email questions or comments to metroredesign@cityofmadison.com. All right, we also have information for you. We have more detailed flood risk maps available in the engineering division's website. They have launched a new interactive map tool for the community to learn about flooding impacts, stormwater infrastructure, and potential flooding in the city. This is a very detailed map. It's pretty fancy, and you can definitely geek out on it and learn more about stormwater. That map is available at cityofmadison.com/flooding, and click through on the links to see it. I would like to welcome the Iron People to Madison. We have a bunch of street closures for the Ironman Triathlon at downtown. This is happening on Sunday, the 12th. You probably all know this, but they swim in Lake Monona, and then they bike around the county, and then they run in the downtown and campus area. This starts at 6:45 in the morning and lasts until about midnight. It's a big deal. It's very fun. But please know that there are going to be a number of street closures due to the triathlon and folks making their way through our community and exerting significant effort in the process. Encourage folks to check it out. It's a fun thing to spectate, cheer people on. If you want to know more information about the Ironman or the course or the detours, you can visit ironman.com/im-wisconsin-course. For Metro Transit detours, you can visit mymetrobus.com. Couple of things. If you are working in your yard, we have finished brush collection for 2021. The last brush collection is happening now. And if you are wondering if you have any more brush collection this year, you can visit cityofmadison.com/brush collection. If your final pickup has already happened, you can take your brush to a streets division drop-off site instead. And that means that our fall yard waste collection is starting. And we have got the schedule published for fall leaf and yard waste. And if you are interested in when that collection is happening outside of your house, go to cityofmadison.com/yardwaste. You can enter your address and see the dates that you should set out your yard waste and your leaves for collection. Everybody is going to get 3 collection opportunities this fall, so make sure you know those dates and get things set out on the curb for them. In an interesting opportunity, the library is offering library takeovers, and they're asking for your applications. The application period closes on October 1st. So a library takeover is when a team of people plans an event, and you get to take over a library. You get funding to take over the library. You'll get a team mentor to help you do the planning. So if you've got an idea for a fun event in one of our libraries, this is for you. You do not have to have any previous event planning experience. All that you need is a great idea for community engagement. So if you're interested, visit madpl.org/library-takeover to learn more or to submit an application. Finally, I want to congratulate Olbrich Gardens. The new Frouchy Family Learning Center earned the U.S. Green Building Council's Leadership Award for the West North Central Region. That's a lot of directions. But this highlights green building projects, companies, and individuals over the last year and recognizes our commitment towards creating healthy, sustainable spaces. So congratulations to Olbrich on the great new Learning Center. Ending, as I always do with community resources, if you are in need of food, housing, social services, other supports in our community. It's been an incredibly difficult year and a half or more. There's no shame in asking for help. Please contact the United Way at 211. You can call 211 or you can text your zip code to 898-211. And the United Way will help connect you to the many, many resources that are available in our community. If you need access to the internet to research resources or to connect with them, please visit your local library. They have computers. You can sign up to use them on an hourly basis. For more information, you can call 608-266-6300. Encourage folks to check out the City of Madison website. Lots of more community resources are posted there. And of course, to subscribe to my blog at cityofmadison.com/mayor/blog. Upcoming meetings. Today is September 9th, Thursday at 4. There's an ad hoc redistricting committee. At 4:30, there's a Community Development Authority meeting. At 5, there's an Equal Opportunities Commission. On the 13th, which is Monday at 4:30, the Finance Committee will meet. We'll be talking about the budget, the capital budget. And at 5:30, the Police and Fire Commission will meet. On Tuesday, the 14th, again, the Finance Committee will meet. We'll be doing, again, capital budget briefings. On Wednesday, the 15th, the Ad Hoc Redistricting Committee meets. This is a super important committee, folks, and I encourage you, even if you don't attend the meetings, to look into what's happening in redistricting at the local, county, and state levels. This impacts your political representation, your elected representation for the next 10 years. So that meeting is at 2 p.m. on Wednesday the 15th. At 5 p.m., the Public Safety Review Committee meets. On the 16th at 5, the Landlord-Tenant Issues Committee. On the 20th, which is Monday at 5, the Transportation Policy and Planning Board, and at 5:30, the Plan Commission. On Tuesday, the 21st, at 4:30, the Common Council Executive Committee will meet. At 6, the Finance Committee meets, and at 6:30, the Common Council will meet. On Wednesday, the 22nd, at 4:30, the Board of Public Works will meet. At 5, Transportation Commission meets, and at 5:30, Madison Arts Commission meets. That is what I have on my list for today. Linda, do we have questions?
And most of them are for public health.
All right. Well, I'll bring Janelle back up to answer some questions then.
Good morning, Janelle.
Good morning.
The first question is, what has been the trend in COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in Dane County since the mask mandate went into effect August 19th? What effect has the mandate had on the state of the pandemic in our community?
Sure, great question. So when we look at the data that we use to inform both this order and the previous order, we spent from that July to August before the order that expires tonight, we used the data that was from when Delta became most prevalent in our community. And in that month of data, we saw a 382% increase when we issued the last order of case activity per day. Since then, since this order has been in effect, the data that we've used has only indicated a 13% increase. So we use that as one of the markers that might help us suggest that this is working. Combined with our high vaccination rate in Dane County and masking, we are seeing a rate per 100,000 of 19 cases per day in Dane County. And when you look at that rate in Wisconsin, that's 35 per 100, so per day. So we believe that this combination of interventions is having an impact on our case activity here.
The next question is has multiple parts, and it says, why include musicians and performers for exemptions now? What motivated that decision? In encouraging performers and venues to require vaccines at events, can you provide any tips on how to best regulate this? As for the 6 feet requirement between performers and attendees, what about between fellow performers sharing a stage or a school band? Where can musicians get those instrument covers and specialized masks?
Ooh, that's a lot of questions all wrapped up into one. So, you know, we, as I just talked about the rate of increase, we look at that and take that very seriously when we make any changes or update orders. And with a relative stability, it seems like when we're looking at other communities that have mask mandates and are making exceptions with similar vaccination rates, in the absence of CDC guidance that speaks to this, we're looking at what other communities are doing as best practices. And we're seeing that there's ways that we can support returning to some of our normal activities with very strong mitigation efforts in place, and that's where we got to with this edit. The next question, you might have to repeat some of those. You can find a lot of information on our website. We're building some additional FAQs about how to support regulation or administration of the vaccine coverage. There's different apps that folks could use. And then we always encourage distancing to be the greatest distance apart possible, whether that's definitely from the performers who may be unmasked to the audience, but from the performers themselves. That's really the best practice.
And I believe the last question was, where can musicians get those instrument covers and specialized masks?
I don't have an answer to that right now, but check out our website. We might be able to have links or to that information.
Thank you so much.
All right, any other questions?
No, those are the questions we have for today.
All right, well, thanks again to Angela and Abby and Janelle for joining us, and for all of you for tuning in, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Be well, everyone. Get vaccinated, wear your masks inside, and enjoy the end of the beautiful summer here in Madison.